Tonight I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 23 through 33. It's 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 23 through 33. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that shoot it, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other, for why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved.
Glad you're all here this evening, and we can open our Bibles together, continuing in our look at this section of Scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, we think about the lives that we live before God and our aim to please Him, to honor Him, and to glorify Him, to make those decisions and live the kind of life that our Father can look down on and be well pleased with. And so we do consider Him. We think about how we may do things so that He will be lifted up, so that He will be pleased. And yet, there's another aspect in which we live where the people around us, in like manner, we should give great consideration to as to what will be beneficial to them. And to think about how our lives are going to affect other people, the decisions that we make, the choices that we make can either help others or hurt others. And in this section of Scripture here, he once again brings forth the idea of idolatry and eating things offered to idols to bring home an important point that can be tied or related to just different areas of Christian living where we need to think about how we affect those around us. And tonight, as we study here from these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll be looking at three things that are brought out in these verses. In verses 23 and 24, we read about limitations that we must observe ourselves, limitations that we must place upon our own choices and our own free will. This is not something that God has told us, you cannot do this, or you can't. But rather, we think about the people around us, and therefore we make a decision to limit what we're going to do for their good. So it shifts completely from me, what I want, what makes me happy, what's best for me, to looking at the other person and thinking about what is best for them. Even when I have the freedom, and there's nothing wrong with going in this direction. So limitations are discussed in those two verses. Then in verses 25 through 29, we'll look at the idea of lordship, that is, God having supreme power or rule over all things, makes it clear to us that there are certain things that are just okay because God has blessed them and given them to us. And then the final point that we'll look at is from verses 30 to 33, where we discuss our liberty. Our liberty, the freedoms that we have, and how we must use them wisely. So, beginning back in verse 23, looking at this idea of limitations, here's what Paul says: all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. And then he says, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. You see, Paul talks about things that are lawful. All things are lawful to me now. Of course, he's not saying that everything out there was lawful for us to do, because he's already explained in verses 6 and following, here are some things that are sinful. We ought not to engage in those things because, look, Israel of old did these things. We should not fall like they fell. But he's talking about things that are indifferent, things that are not sinful, things that would be okay for us to do. They're not going to break any law of God whatsoever. So among those things that are lawful for me to do, I can do those things freely and not in any way violate God's will. However, he points out, others may not be helped by me exercising my freedom to do this thing. I might be free to do it, but is it going to help this person? Wait a minute, it's going to hurt this person? How can I proceed? He says again, all things are lawful for me. I'm free to do these things that are not sinful. Nothing wrong with doing them. Wait a minute. This is not going to build up my brother. Not going to make him stronger. This is going to go in the opposite direction. It's going to break him down, hurt him, wound his conscience. So while things may be lawful, we must set upon ourselves limitations when others are not helped, when others are not edified. We're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. This is the will of God. Doesn't He want, and doesn't make perfect sense, that those who are members of the body of Christ build one another up? We've talked about this before. When your body is full of health and vitality, it grows stronger, and the body has systems that support each other and they work together. Your body has the biggest organ of all is what? What's the biggest organ of your body? Your skin. But when, and the skin acts as a barrier to keep out all those things that are harmful to what's on the inside. But when your skin is cut and it has been compromised, that barrier, another system of your body kicks in, your immune system. And all these systems work together to strengthen, to build up, to protect the body. Sometimes the body turns on itself and the immune system attacks other portions of the body. We are to build up, to edify, to do all those things that are for the good of our brethren. But to do nothing, certainly nothing that is sinful, but he makes this point, even something that I have the right to do that is not sinful, but that may somehow, and he'll give us an example, hurt someone else, then I must think about them above me. So others are not helped sometimes by me exercising my freedom. Others are not edified when I exercise my freedom. And therefore others must be considered, verse 24, in all that I do. Let no one seek his own. This is a command given to us by God through Paul. Don't let any of you seek your own. Christians can't be selfish-minded. I mean, all we've got to do is look to Jesus, who lowered himself from where he was. You can't get any higher than that. He lowered himself to the form of flesh, served humanity, died for humanity, and has given up something eternally. One day he's going to hand over the rule of the church, which he is now reigning over to the Father, that the Father may be all in all. and he is one of our brethren. We're told in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, let nothing, here's again a command, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. You are followers of Christ Jesus. You cannot do such a thing. If we do anything with selfish motivation, conceit, I'm better than so, you're doing it, we do it because we are lifting ourselves up over somebody else, it's wrong. Don't do anything for that reason. Instead, in lowliness of mind, so here's this lowering of yourself, let your mind just go way down here. Don't have lofty thoughts of yourself. Don't do things to exalt yourself. But in lowliness of mind, let each, every one of you individually, esteem others better than himself. And here's the similar thought to what we read in 1 Corinthians 10. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. This is the selfless way of Christ, who we're told in the following verses that we're to have the mind of. Think like Jesus. Be like him. The mature child of God is going to live his life, her life, setting aside his or her own desires for the well-being of our brothers and our sisters. In fact, in answer to the question that Cain asked, am I my brother's keeper? The answer is absolutely yes, we are. We are to keep our brethren. We're to watch out for them. We're to care for them. We are to sacrifice for them. We are to give up our freedoms for them so that they might be built up and helped on their journey in this life. Jesus in Luke 9, verse 23 said to his followers, if anyone desires to come after me, what's the first thing he tells them to do? Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The life that is patterned after the Savior will be a life of self-denial because his was, and therefore we must be the same, live the same type of life, a self-denying, a sacrificial life. So we do have to impose upon ourselves limitations when the things that we might be free to do are not helpful to our brethren, do not build up and are not edifying to our brethren, but instead would harm them in any way. We have to think that way. But then in verses 25 through 29, as we continue on, he gives us a point concerning the eating of meats. Because commonly at this time, you might go to a marketplace and things that you would find there to be able to buy would be things that might have been offered to an idol. Or you might be invited to someone's house to go to eat. And in fact, some of the food there might be food that was offered to an idol. He's already dealt with the fact that an idol is nothing, and that to eat something that has been offered to an idol is not inherently sinful. And so we know that the actual partaking of it is not wrong. And again, in this context that we're looking at tonight, it is not, as we looked at last week, the context of or the situation where worship is going on. It's not a worship type environment. You're not communing with demons when you partake of the food that has been offered to an idol outside of a worship setting. You're just eating a meal, or you're buying your food at the marketplace. It's not that kind of a setting. So here's what he says. He says, beginning at verse 25, eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. So this is where we get the idea of lordship here. God has supreme power or rule. Everything around us has been made by him. Fruits and vegetables that we eat, the animals we may partake of as well, everything's been made by God and has been freely given to us to partake of. And so we can eat of those things without any sin whatsoever. And since an idol is nothing, and just because something has been offered to an idol doesn't make it tainted somehow in this kind of a context. You just go and you buy whatever you're going to buy. Don't ask any questions and eat of that freely, knowing that God has made it all. He is Lord over all, and He gives that to you, and you enjoy it. Partake of it. You've done nothing wrong because He is Lord over all. However, look at verse 27. If any of those who do not believe invites you to go to dinner, and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you. Again, he says, asking no question for conscience sake. So you're invited. He says, don't go to that meal and start asking, investigating, was this offered to you or not? How about this? You know, you don't need to ask anything because God has blessed it all. He's given it to you. You're just going to someone's house to eat. You're not going to a temple to worship with them and to do the very thing Paul's already said you can't do. You're just going to eat at someone's house. Don't ask any questions. As long as you're not eating blood, Acts chapter 15, everything's okay. Because all these different animals or whatever it is, the fruit of the ground that they may be preparing for this meal, you can freely eat of it. But he says, if someone tells you then at verse 28, they come up to you and they say, this was offered to idols. That then presents a new scenario that you must take into account. Even though the right thing to do is to go in there and freely partake because it's a blessing from God, if someone makes a point of telling you this particular thing has been offered to an idol, then do not eat it. And he says, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. So God has, yes, blessed you with everything, and yet even though you're free to partake of all, sometimes you need to refrain from partaking. Because in this case, there is one who has made this point concerning this being something offered to an idol. What it suggests is that the person who has pointed this out thinks that if you eat this, somehow you as a Christian are doing something wrong. And so to proceed would seem to them inconsistent, and you're to be concerned about what you do and how it affects others. If you had gone in there and just eaten, nobody had said a word, then everything is okay. However, if someone points it out, he says, stop right there and do not proceed because you don't want to do something that is a violation of conscience. Verse 29, notice, conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. You're looking at the individual who may see, and it doesn't matter what that person's background is. It's just simply they're asking that question. Because it may in fact be that your efforts to reach them or your influence may be harmed by your proceeding. And so God says, do not partake of that. Even though God is Lord of all and has blessed us with all of this to partake of. But the question is posed at the end of verse 29, and it's a significant one. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? I'm free. God has given me all. Why should I be limited by somebody else's problem? They're the ones who don't understand. I understand it. Why can't I just go ahead and proceed and eat? And the reason is, as he'll explain, it's not about us. It's about doing what's best for the gospel, for the kingdom, for others. It's not about self. And we have to change our mentality away from self to this attitude of service to God and others to the point where we're willing to forsake our own freedoms for other people's benefit. And so there at verse 30 then, we begin this final point concerning liberty in verses 30 to 33. He says, "But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? So here I am, exercising my freedom, my liberty, to partake of that which God tells me is not sinful to eat, and yet someone would judge me. Hey, that's offered to an idol. You shouldn't eat that. And then I have to stop, and I can't eat it." That doesn't seem right, is the way the question is being posed. But it's explained. It's explained in verse 31, "Therefore, for this reason," for what reason? The reason is we have to turn away from thinking about ourselves. Whether, he says, you eat, or whether you drink, and then he says, or whatever you do. It doesn't matter what it is. The example is just one of many examples that could be given. But in this case, he says, eating or drinking. If you do it so that God will be honored, so that He will be glorified, so that you won't bring shame and reproach upon the church, so that you won't destroy or harm your influence as a Christian. Be willing to give up what you need to give up. Don't even think twice about it. Everything pales in comparison to the kingdom of God and the Lord's will, which we're to seek first in our lives. Above all else, it reigns supreme. And everything else we must be willing to just set aside. He says, "Give no offense either to Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God." So this is everyone. He's speaking to those who are members of the body of Christ. The Jewish people, you might have to give up certain freedoms. You might have to turn away from doing certain things because of them. It might be the Gentiles, the Greeks. It might even be your own brethren. Don't give offense. Instead, Paul says, do as I have done. And he's inspired by the Holy Spirit to declare what he does in verse 33. He says, "Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." You see, what it all boils down to is the salvation of souls and the glory and honor of God. If we have to make some sacrifices, if we have to yield so that someone else will not be harmed, so instead we can see them through something that they're struggling with in their mind, or that to them may seem an inconsistency, then we're willing to go through that and sacrifice that. We can, in time, teach and help them to understand more fully. But for the time being, as he says, you don't proceed. You do not eat, or you do not do that thing that you may be free to do because of the effect it's going to have on somebody else. Liberty or freedom in Christ is something that we must on our own at times limit because of the effect it will have on other people. Paul has already declared, as he said back in chapter 9, he became a servant to all people. "Though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more." This needs to be our mindset. Be willing to serve, be willing to do all that we can do to help other people. And such a great lesson to us. There are many ways in which we as God's children today need to grow and develop that sacrificial, that giving, and that humble disposition of heart that will enable us to successfully follow in the footsteps of Jesus and of the Apostle Paul, where we think not about self, but about the Lord first and foremost, and then our neighbor, whom we're to love as we love ourselves. Tonight it may be that you're not yet a child of God. You may need to turn to the one who can for you give the kind of liberty or freedom that exists nowhere else. freedom from the bondage of sin, freedom from the consequences of sin, and that is only found in Jesus Christ. We can look forward to a life of faithful service and activity and hope and having the help of the Lord every day that we live. But that's a blessing and that's a life that is enjoyed by those who have become God's children. We hope that tonight, if you're not a Christian and you've been thinking about that decision, that you would begin to really contemplate where your soul is at this very moment. Ask yourself the question, if the Lord were to come tonight, would I be in heaven forever or would I be in hell? Or if I were to die on the way home, a car accident, would I be in heaven or hell? Have I done the things that the Bible teaches so that my soul can be saved? So that my sins can be forgiven? You say, well, I've got so much in my life. I've got to wait till I can get stronger and then maybe I can start living the Christian life. That's not the way it works. That's when we need to take the steps to have all those sins removed and then get the help that God supplies us with. And He'll help us along the way, and we gain a Christian family to help us along the way. We need to make sure that we don't delay the most important decision in all the world so that we can have the forgiveness that God wants to give us through His Son Jesus, who has died for us and says, I'm ready to wash away all your sins tonight. Just come to me. And of course, if you've done those things, you know that you live in the family of God. You live with hope. You know that you're one day going to be able to inherit the crown of eternal life and receive the mansion, whatever this is, that the Lord is going to give us, our heavenly habitation. And you look forward to that with great joy and anticipation. And yet you know that there are things that you struggle with, there are things that sometimes you fall and you commit sin. Keep on moving forward. Don't allow Satan's discouragement to cause you to give it up. But if you have been persisting in sin, if there's something that perhaps you've been making the excuse, well, you know, I do a lot of good in my life, therefore this is maybe not such a big deal. Remember that any sin that we persist in will cost us our soul. It's not a matter of percentages. It's nothing like that. We have to give ourselves completely to God. And we cannot persist in any ungodliness. And if you need to tonight, as you examine your heart as a child of God, come home to Him or return to Him, then don't delay that decision. Have your sins washed away again. When you ask for forgiveness from God, we can pray on your behalf. It's like Simon the sorcerer. He knew he had done wrong and he asked Peter, pray for me that I might be forgiven. If you need to come to the Lord's invitation tonight, we encourage you to do so as we stand and sing.